Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
He's been given several opportunities for him to be off the lease scot-free, not responsible for anything. He wouldn't sign anything. He wouldn't do it. There was like a night where he like forced his way into my bedroom. Like I opened the door because he was standing outside my door like a creep when my boyfriend and I were in there. Found out later that he had peed on my boyfriend's car. And when I told him, like, you know, given your behavior, I think I'm being really generous. He was like, what behavior?
Yeah, what behavior? Taking a leak on your ex's new boyfriend's car is totally normal. Hey, what's up? It's Abby from The Breakup Breakdown. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Do you ever get randomly curious about people's love lives? Like, I don't know what it is. If I've been following you for a couple of years, even if we haven't spoken in like 3, 4, 10 years, if you're posting about a significant other and then they just disappear out of nowhere, I want the details. And that's how this podcast got started. Every week, I take a submission from a form that's linked in the episode description where people can submit those types of tips, or maybe it's something you saw on TikTok, like someone giving a cryptic message about how they just broke up with their boyfriend and you want to know more details, or it could even be a submission from yourself wanting to tell your own breakup story. Whatever it is, you know, we love getting all the details and hearing the great lessons along the way. If you've got a submission for the podcast, you can find that link to the submission form in the episode description. And as always, if you would like to jump to a certain part of the interview, you can find timestamps in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. Thanks for tuning in. So this week we've got a submission from someone who says that their ex-boyfriend refused to leave their apartment after the breakup went down. But before we get into that, every single week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter throughout the country just to raise more awareness. And this week we're shouting out Safe Harbor in Richmond, Virginia. They provide support that survivors of sexual and domestic violence and human trafficking need to overcome it and transform their lives. If you want to find out more details about the organization, you can find everything linked in the episode description. Also, just want to give a quick shout out to the live event that we had in Atlanta over the weekend. If you weren't there, I know obviously not everyone can travel to Atlanta, but we had the best day. It, of course, took place at Painted Horse Winery, and we seriously couldn't have had a better day weather-wise or turnout-wise. We had about 60 heartbreakers show up to drink some wine, eat some cheese, and listen to a crazy breakup story about one of my coworkers who said that they were catfished for 8 years. This time we actually ended up recording the episode, so we are going to be able to post it at some point, probably in the next week, so just be patient for it. I'm going to do some editing on it and make sure it sounds really good, and hopefully by Thursday, if not by this upcoming next week when the next main episode is posted, I will let you know where you can listen to it and hear all that delicious breakup tea. So now let's get into the submission. So I got one from someone who said that their ex just refused to leave their shared lease once the breakup actually went down. So here's what it says. It says, a friend of mine brought my ex's X-rated Reddit activities to my attention. This was the catalyst that brought every single one of his lies to the surface, including lying about a medical diagnosis. I did basically everything for him for 3 years because of this diagnosis. I wanted to be supportive of my partner. It's been almost a year and I'm still stuck with this lease with him because he's essentially holding me hostage in the lease. His behavior has escalated and I've had to block his mom on Facebook to keep her from harassing me to take him back. I finally have a plan of action to gain my freedom, but I obviously need a little bit more time to be able to tell you the story. I gotta tell you, the more and more I hear about Reddit, the more I want to delete the internet from my phone. Reddit might be the 8th layer of hell or the 7th layer of hell. How many layers are in hell? I don't know. There's too many at this point, but Reddit is the lowest of the low. And so it doesn't shock me that there's probably something really shady going on in the Reddit threads with him. But also very interesting about this medical diagnosis, if he's really lying. We've had a couple of episodes where people have lied about their medical diagnosis, and they're always in long-term relationships. And I'm just like, how do people get away with this kind of stuff? Like, if you asked me what I ate yesterday and I lied about it, like that's not a lie I could keep up. I'm a terrible liar. So when people have this kind of skill, like, it is a little scary, but I'm also kind of weirdly impressed if you're able to keep up that kind of charade, whatever. But obviously I saw this and was incredibly curious. So let's get our interviewee on the phone so we can break down this week's breakup.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
So we both worked together at the same restaurant. I was dating somebody at the time. So we were friends for, I think, like maybe around a year before we started dating. This sounds like such a weird thing, but he was nice to me. I just had like such a track record of dating men that were just kind of mean to me that, you know, dating someone who just seemed really nice. And at the time, I think he was a nice person. Like that was just really refreshing. And I know that sounds so simple, but like, he was just nice to me.
Yeah, he was nice. And I'm assuming he was a cutie. I'm assuming you were attracted to him. So nice and cute. It's a good mix.
Yeah, good mix.
So how long did you guys date total? And at what point in the relationship did things start to go wrong?
So we dated for about 3 years. I think like, for me, noticing it in real time, things probably started to go wrong when we moved in together. Looking back now with hindsight, like I can see where things were wrong before that. I just didn't maybe want to recognize it.
What were those red flags that you think you ignored?
The first birthday I had when we were dating, he showed up like 2 hours late, blackout drunk.
Oh, yep. There it is. Weird. Red flag.
Now I'm like, what is wrong with me? That wasn't immediately like, no.
Yeah. So you guys are together. You said 3 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
3 years. So at what point in that 3 years do things really start to go downhill for y'all?
We moved in together. He wasn't really super helpful in the process of finding a home. Like it felt like it was kind of just on me to find us a place to live and me to figure everything out. I think like initially what was weird to me is that obviously like I'm moving my stuff out of my apartment into our house, but he didn't own a lot of things. Like he didn't have stuff for the kitchen or furniture. So it was going to be, you know, our stuff, but he didn't like want to help move anything in. He didn't want to help unpack anything. Like it was up to me to do everything. And I did. And I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, going forward, he'll be more helpful. He just didn't want to do anything other than go to work and play video games. Like I couldn't get him to vacuum. I was working a full-time job. I have my hobbies. I felt like I was having to live like a 1950s housewife with a full-time job. And I'm also, you know, doing the
You don't even
work.
Get the benefits of being a 1950s housewife because you have to go.
Right?
So you're living in like this weird 2024 girl boss era, but also come home and vacuum era.
And it would be like one thing if it was just me in like a one bedroom apartment with my dog, but it's like we have like a house and I'm having to do everything. I'm doing the yard.
What's his excuse for not wanting to do anything? He's just like, it's not really my responsibility. Like, what's his deal?
Basically, when we were friends, he said that he had autism and that he was diagnosed. He made it seem like it had been when he was younger, not anytime recently. That was kind of what his cop out would be for not being able to be on top of managing tasks and, you know, manage kind of those daily things, is that he said it was his autism and it made it hard for him to kind of manage those things.
Are autistic people like known to be lazy? I'm very confused here.
I'm no expert. I don't know. I've just bought it. I know that maybe sometimes people, not even just autistic people, but people with ADHD maybe struggle with like managing tasks and getting distracted and not noticing things. And so I think that was maybe his cop out with it. And then I think a lot of like millennial women have fallen into this trap with partners where like you try to get them to be helpful and hands-on, and then they're like, well, just tell me to do it. It's like, no one's telling me to do it. Like, why do I have to tell you to do it? Why do I have to carry, you know, the whole mental load of everything and, you know, be on top of it?
I have a hard time with this question because I have to ask it to everyone for the sake of storytelling, because we got to know like what's your motive behind everything. But it always sounds very combative. I'm like, why are you in this relationship? Like, it sounds horrible.
Yeah. Part of it was that when we started dating, I did have a friend that had been interested in him to the point that like I even tried to set them up. And this was before him and I started dating, and nothing ever really came of it. And I did ask her about it before him and I started dating. And initially she was okay with it. And later she had a problem with it. And eventually, you know, her and I weren't friends anymore. So sometimes it felt like, you know, I lost a friendship over this. That, but at the same time, there was other problems in that friendship and it probably would have come to a natural end regardless. So I can't really blame him or, you know, that, but I just kind of, I felt like I had invested some time. And at this time, again, I thought like, this is someone who can't maybe manage tasks the same way I'm able to. So who am I to judge him for not, you know, being able to do X, Y, and Z if he says he's not able to? Like, why would I not believe that? So I just kind of let it slide and kept thinking that, you know, he was just going through something and he was going to turn a corner and then somehow it was just not going to be shitty anymore.
So the sunk cost fallacy and you just being a very compassionate person, understandable. Do you get to a point in this relationship where like, I'm sick of being your mom and also like the breadwinner here? Like what's your last straw?
Because, I mean, I will say, like, he was working, like, we were probably working about the same amount of hours. He had two jobs that he was working that were both part-time. And then I had my full-time gig. Our sex life was abysmal because I was like, it doesn't do it for me that I feel like your mom. Like, I can't, it's just, like, kind of weird. Like, I feel like I have to remind you to do your laundry. Like, if we were going to go on a vacation, I had to, like, coach him how to pack. Or, like, it was... like he just couldn't do anything for himself. And I don't know what happened along the way that he got to that point that, you know, because, you know, I found out later he's not autistic. So it's, you know, I don't know how one gets to that point organically.
Wait, how did you find out he was an autistic? Like, did you see his medical records or something?
No, it kind of ties in with what was the catalyst for us breaking up. We had what I thought was a mutual friend, but I guess was actually just my friend who I knew through work, but the two of them had gone to high school together. My ex would always talk about this person like they were still in regular contact, and he would talk about a lot of his high school friends like he was still in regular contact. So I thought that, why would I not think that's true? And so when I became friends with this person, I just assumed the two of them had been seeing each other regularly, talked to each other regularly. And when they got married, like he got married, we weren't invited to the wedding, which I thought was really weird because I was like, oh, like but you know, it's a smaller wedding, no heart. Like I just didn't, you know, think too much on it. And then I realized that like most of the time it was just me hanging out with him and his wife. Like my ex wouldn't really come, but I was like, you know, his work schedule doesn't line up, whatever. And the friend called me one day when I was at work. And he was like, I have to tell you something. And he said, I have been going back and forth all day on if I would tell you or how to tell you. He basically told me that he was like on Reddit and he saw where my ex was like on these polyamorous subreddits responding to people like seeking whatever. And he was like responding like his like 31M, whatever, like his response was. And I like... this friend does have a weird sense of humor. So at first I was like, what? Like, okay. And he was like, no, like, and I have like a Reddit account, but I don't use Reddit really much. There's like two subreddits I follow. So I didn't even have my settings where I could see these subreddits because you have to like have the mature settings on. So initially, like when I, you know, started, I couldn't even see anything. And then he like sent me the link and I changed my settings. I was able to see it. And I looked at other posts, like on other things that he was posting on. And it was obviously his account. Like it was pictures of like a work project on a different Reddit that was applicable. And, you know, some of his hobbies, like stuff like that. So it was obviously his. He couldn't say it wasn't. I immediately called him and I told him what I saw. And I basically just asked that he not stay at the house that night because I was just really upset. And at that point, and again, this sounds so stupid, I was like, okay, like he's doing this weird thing on the internet, but I don't think he's acted on it. And I just need space. Like I can't be around him. And he kept just like fighting me on it, that he didn't want to stay somewhere else, that he couldn't stay somewhere else. And that really kind of struck a chord with me because we had an argument not long after we moved into the house where I have terrible anxiety and I was just having like a really hard time of it. And I begged him not to leave the house. And he was like, I'm going to go stay at my sister's. And he like packed a bag and he left and he acted like he was going to stay at his sister's. And then he came home at like 8 o'clock, like, well, I changed my mind. And so I was like, why can't you stay at your sister's? Like, you were going to stay there when, you know, and he's like, oh, well, that's not an option. I'm like, it was an option when I begged you not to like leave. And so now looking back, I'm like, that was just him like messing with my head, I think, when he was like, I'm just going to leave. And like, I think he just threw some random stuff in a bag and went somewhere for a few hours and never had any intention of staying anywhere. But eventually I convinced him to just go, you know, stay at a friend's house or whatever. I even like called my brother because they were friends and I didn't tell him what happened. But I was like, I need Kenny to not, or sorry, I need him to not be in the house tonight. You know, can he stay at your house? And he said, that's fine. His girlfriend said it was fine. He ended up staying at a friend's house. Then the friend that had told me was like, hey, you know, come grab a beer with us. We just want to make sure you're okay. So I went out with them and he was like, you know, you have to break up with him. Like, he was like, I don't really understand why you've been dating him this whole time. He was like, everyone's very confused by it. He's like, he's just like kind of a piece of shit. And he's like, it doesn't make sense. And I was like, you know, like, I'm not going to sit here and like, and I'm not perfect either. I have my faults. Like, I know that there's things I need to work on too, but I was like, you know, I know he's not perfect, but you know, it's not like he's kind of, you know, lazy and he's really messy, but I understand, like, I can't really blame him because I know with being autistic, it makes it kind of hard to manage some of the day-to-day tasks. Like, and it was almost like his voice speaking through my mouth because I would just hear him say that so much as the excuse that I didn't even have to like think to say it. But, and then the friend was, he asked me what I was talking about. And I said, you know, he's autistic, you know, he has autism. And then the friend said, no, he doesn't. That was shocking because I felt like I'd been like gentle parenting this grown man for 3 years. And not only did he lie to me about that, but then he's going and talking to other women on like polyamory subreddits. I just felt like, one, so disrespected, and two, just like the dumbest bitch that ever lived. Truly.
Why are you taking this guy's word with such weight? How does he really know if he has an autism diagnosis or not?
Initially, I took that at 50-50, but then he started to kind of share other things that brought some other lies to attention. Like, all of these people that he claimed to be friends with didn't talk to him anymore, didn't want anything to do with him because of his, you know, lazy behavior and him honestly being very manipulative, because I learned in that moment he was very, very good at manipulating people. But and him and this person hadn't been friends when he said that when we became acquainted through my job, that was the first time he'd seen him in years, that they were really only in it to hang out with me, and that the reason they didn't invite us to the wedding was because they didn't want him to come.
Oh wow.
So they couldn't invite me and not invite him because it would have been weird. And then he kind of confirmed the lying about the autism thing, because he'd been lying about so many things. And when I told him point blank, I was like, I know that you've been lying to me. The first thing he said was, well, if it's about the autism thing, which to me is like, okay, so you've been lying about that. And then he kind of dug it in deeper, where he told me that, and he told me this before, that there was a point in time where he had like a bit of a Xanax problem, and he took care of it, and he was briefly hospitalized, I think a couple days. And he told me that when he was being discharged, that the doctor told him he might be autistic. Like, he never went and got any kind of formal diagnosis. And again, he also insinuated that it had been one that he'd had for a long time. And like, if you ask any adult that's been diagnosed with autism, like as an adult, that it's a very expensive and time consuming process. Like, they're not just going into that. Like, that's something that you're investing in, and that they, you know, unfortunately make hard for people to get access to help for that as adults. And so that kind of was messed up to me that he would lie about that. And then he would even like sometimes use the R word. And when I'd be like, hey, you really shouldn't say that, he'd be like, well, I am, so it's okay. And looking back, I'm like, what?
So he basically had like I don't want to say it was a WebMD quiz, but it was basically like a doctor doing a WebMD quiz on him, like,
yeah,
like this, and then threw out there. And then he took that as literal fact. Did he ever acknowledge the polyamory stuff, or was his response to that to just run and be like, oh, I'm going to go stay with someone else?
He said that he was just on there because he thought it was funny, and like, he didn't mean anything by it. He basically said, I never should have saw it, in a way, basically making it seem like it was the person that told me's fault that I knew, and not that his fault that he did it. That I never should have had to see that. And I'm like, you're right. You shouldn't have done it. But he did. And the breakup was rough. And I had to break up with him like 2 times because he was obliterated the first time. And I think he just forgot. And then a few days later, I was like, hey, are you going to like find a new place to live? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I'm talking about us not living together anymore because we're not together anymore. And that would be kind of weird. And he was like, oh, well, I've just been giving you space. And I basically told him I wanted space from him forever, because I did. But unfortunately, we were in a lease, so I couldn't really make him do anything. And he's been given several opportunities to either let me off the lease and, you know, me help him find a roommate, or I even offered him his half of the deposit back and for him to be off the lease scot-free, not responsible for anything. And he wouldn't sign anything. He wouldn't do it. And I think, again, it's just like him manipulating me and like forcing me to have to be around him. I don't know.
Okay. So you break up with this guy. What is life like after the breakup? Because it doesn't really sound like this is the kind of guy that is going to go quietly.
It was rough. Like, it was really bad for the first few weeks, just like getting, you know, him moved out of the room, like just establishing boundaries. And like, it wasn't fun. Fortunately, a few months after we broke up, I got a job that involves a fair bit of travel. So I would get some good breaks where I didn't have to, you know, be around him all the time. It sucked. And then there would be times where like I wouldn't see people for like a couple months and they would be like, oh, like, did he end up moving out? And I would say no. And they would be like, they would think it's insane because it is. And he would just double down and be like, well, we signed a lease, so you have to live with me. And I'm like, but we don't though. The landlord said it's fine if you want to leave. And as long as I agree to pay the rent, which I did, and we would sign like a contract and it was fine. And he just wouldn't do it. And when I started dating someone new, I got where he was just kind of like scary. There was a point where like I would maybe stay at the house like one day a week because I just didn't feel safe there.
That sounds miserable. Are you still in the apartment? What's going on there?
I decided there was a night where like his behavior hit a peak and I kind of just decided like, okay, I can't live here anymore. So I basically talked to my landlord and I was like, I'm going to move out. I'm going to still pay my rent. It's just going to be on him to pay the utilities. And I, you know, figured out a plan for what I was going to do for my own living situation. And he was fine with it because, you know, I'm fairly close to my landlord and he wasn't really a fan of the situation either. And he had to kind of like be told what happened when his behavior escalated. And he wasn't really a fan of his behavior or how he was acting towards me and just thought it was like kind of unhinged. So that's what I've been doing. I kind of just finished moving out today. Actually, all my stuff's out. And well, there's like three things in there I have to get tomorrow, but like the heavy stuff's out and it's like, it feels good to like not really have to be around him anymore. And he's still trying to be, you know, petty. Because there was like a night where he like forced his way into my bedroom. Like I opened the door because he was standing outside my door like a creep when my boyfriend and I were in there. And he like forced his way into my room. He like screamed in my face. We found out later that he had peed on my boyfriend's car. And when I told him like, you know, given your behavior, I think I'm being really generous. He was like, what behavior? And he told me that I let him in the room. And I was like, no, I did open the door because I thought that you would walk away because you were being weird. And he literally had it where he kept pushing the door. Anytime I tried to close it, he kept pushing it and he kept pushing it. And he was screaming in my face and he was obviously very drunk. Like you could smell it on him. And like I just had to leave because he was just acting so crazy.
Are you at all scared for his behavior or like a potential retaliation now that you've actually left?
I go back and forth on it because like until that night, like he was obviously an asshole. Like he was a bad person. He'd really screwed me over. And I felt like I'd just been manipulated and gaslit, but like, I wasn't afraid of him. I didn't think he would do anything to me. I never would have opened that door if I thought that that was the way he was going to act because he'd never given me any reason to think he would act that way. I don't know when we would be in each other's proximity for it to be an issue. If he had enough to drink, I don't really know how he would react.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of the underlying problem is he does really have a drinking problem. And he did the same thing that I think a lot of alcoholics do that like, well, I'm really going to try to work on my sobriety. I just need you to stay with me to support me. And I told him like, I'm really supportive of you if that's what you want to do, but I can't be with you just because you say you're going to try to get sober.
I know you're in a new relationship now, which is very exciting. Love that you found someone new. What did you learn about that previous relationship that set you up for healthier ones down the road?
One, not allowing myself to be in a relationship I would have to lie to my therapist about because
that's good.
I'm just bad about that. And I think anyone that's been in therapy for more than like a few years has done this at some point. And I'm not talking like little white lies. If you have to lie about like most of your relationship to your therapist, it's probably not a good one. So I've been trying to, you know, set expectations where it's like, I'm not going to be treated the way I've let people treat me before. It was like a cold bucket of ice. Like I was just like, can't do it anymore. We're done. So I think I've been better about setting some healthy boundaries and just, yeah, not putting myself in a situation where I would have to lie so that people in my life like the person I'm with.
No, yeah. I mean, it's like when you go out with those friends who are with somebody that they're just so proud of that they can't help but brag about them. You're like, whatever they have, I want whatever that is. And I think sometimes it takes a bad situation like this to make you realize that, or sometimes it takes like a role model for you to see it in somebody else's life, to believe that it's out there for you. Whatever way you have to get to it, it's vital because not wanting to share things about your relationship is just not normal. And it's probably a bad sign that there's something underneath the surface.
Yes. Yeah. So I've definitely, and that's not the first time I've done that. Like it was a problem that I had for a long time and I'm kind of glad that it's hopefully behind me. And, it's done and hopefully I never have to see him again. I mean, we live in the same area, so that's not 100% guaranteed, but we won't be in a close proximity of each other. It just feels good to, like, you know, be away. And people keep asking me, like, oh, like, what is he going to do? I'm like, I don't care. Because he doesn't have the wherewithal to find a place to live. Like, he isn't working full time for whatever reason. Like, he lost one of his part time jobs because the business closed, and he just never started working full time again at his other job, or tried to get another job. So he's working like 3 days a week and then just playing video games. And like, I don't know. He'll just end up back at his mom's house, which is on him and her, because I don't think she was done with him. Mm. I think she still has some mothering to do.
Clearly. How did you know that your new relationship wasn't like your other ones? How did you know that it was going to be a healthy relationship that you wouldn't have to lie to people about?
I'm fortunate enough to be dating my best friend. So that, like, there was already kind of a foundation there where I knew the kind of person he was. Like, there wasn't going to be anything like super crazy that came out, but he's just a good person. Like, he's a caring person. We have a lot of the same values. I don't know. It just works. He cares about things that are important to me, which I've not really had in a relationship before, where like I do like craft market pop-ups. He'll like come and like break my tent down with me. And I'm like, oh, I have one of those boyfriends now. Like, I was like, the other girls had those boyfriends. I've never had that boyfriend, but he'll like sit there and like, you know, hang out with me the whole day. And he actually knows what my job is enough to tell other people. It's like, yeah, it's kind of nice just to be with someone that's actually an active participant in the relationship.
Yeah. Especially after years of feeling like somebody's mom, I'm sure it's very refreshing.
Yes. It's very nice.
So talk to me about how this happened. Like, you called him your best friend. Was there anything ever like lingering between you? It's finally like the right time. Like, what went down?
I think it was just more of like the right time. Like, he's older than me. When we met, I was like 23. So I feel like that age gap then like might have been a little weirder than it is now. But we just were always really good friends. Like, it's not like we've been like harboring something and going behind, you know, my ex's back, which I think is how he thinks it is. But it was just kind of a right time kind of thing. I think we both have done a lot of work on ourselves in the past few years. Like, we've both, like, he's been in therapy. I've been in therapy on and off for a while, but I think we both had put the work in, and we were like in a place time-wise where it made sense.
You've been through a lot in the previous relationship. You really went through the ringer, and I don't think it's an uncommon situation, unfortunately. I think a lot of people are in these long-term relationships where you feel like you have to make certain compromises to make it work. You feel like, oh, this is just how they are. Or maybe they are going through something really challenging in a mental health space, and they feel like, mm-hmm. Well, I'm an asshole if I leave them. What would you tell somebody that's sitting in that space right now where they're not really sure whether or not it's worth making it work, or if they should stick it out?
I would say, like, as much as you want to be supportive of someone else's mental health and their well-being, you can't sacrifice your own for another person. And I was doing that because I wasn't happy and I wasn't like mentally healthy, because I felt like I had the kind of job where at the time where I was in charge of like everything. Like, I was working at a brewery. They used to joke I did everything but make and sell the beer, because I ran the tap room. I did all the events. I did all the marketing. And so like, it felt so frustrating to have to like all day, every day, whether I was at home or work, be on. Like, I couldn't ever be off. I had to be responsible for everything all the time. So it wasn't good for my mental health either. And he would even throw it back in my face where I have really bad anxiety. I have OCD. And he, with the cleaning stuff, he'd be like, well, you just need everything to be perfect because everything has to be perfect. And I'm like, that's not what I'm asking. And there's a broad spectrum of OCD symptoms. And I like to keep my house clean, but it's not like it's spotless or anything. It's not like I'm scrubbing with a toothbrush or, you know, getting my baseboards with Q-tips. I just don't want dog hair everywhere and food on the counter. Yeah, just don't put someone else's mental health ahead of your own, I guess.
Tune in on Thursday, because we are going to have another breakdown bonus episode where I will have an expert come on to talk about what happens when your partner kind of wants you to mother them, and what do you do about it? Do you leave? Do you work through it? What's the right thing to do? I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.